which we stand. I acknowledge that you're holy. I acknowledge you as me. I trust you.
Welcome to the Pro-Life Team podcast. I'm Jacob, and I'm here with Anthony Yetzer with Generation Life. And today we're going to be hearing about Generation Life and Anthony's story connected to this work. Anthony, would you go ahead and give yourself some background or some history, and then let's dive into this pro-life work that you're involved in.
Sure, absolutely, Jacob. So it's funny, I actually never expected to be working in the pro-life arena. How that came about was really providential in many ways. Just to go all the way back, you know, I'm a homeschooler. I grew up in Northern Maryland, and I converted to Catholicism when I was leaving high school, you know, on the edge of college there. And, you know, I grew up in a really conservative Protestant home, and my involvement with like pro-life movement and messaging largely would have come through focus on the family. I remember we received the Citizen Link magazine, and I would always, I loved reading that, learning about Abby Johnson and all the work that's going on. So I was always interested. It was in the back of my mind. But anyhow, became a Catholic, graduated college, did some teaching in Catholic schools. And I was at that point in my life, I was married, we had two kids, and I was thinking, man, it's really not cutting it financially, but I love this work. I love working with the kids, you know, teaching them about the Lord. And so I had that, but at the same time, I'm thinking I need to make more money. So I was actually, you know, looking to get, you know, pivot from teaching into sales or something, or some way to get more food on the table. But I could never quite get away from looking at CatholicJobs.com, and I see this posting for this organization I'd never heard of before, Generation Life, you know, based out of Philadelphia, and they're looking for a speaker. And I'm like, how cool is that? You don't normally see, you know, that kind of a job being listed. And I was like, oh, I talked to my wife, and we're like, all right, we gotta check this out at least. And so I did, and everything, you know, the Lord was just like, yes, 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 all these windows and the doors being opened. And a couple years in, I'm now the executive director, and I am most definitely involved in pro-life ministry. So here we are.
Interesting. Yeah, it's always cool how origin stories sort of like, it's like one door after another, or one domino getting knocked down that leads to another, that will, as God leads and God directs us down a path. So tell us, you know, what does Generation Life do when it comes to, you know, what's its main purpose, and how does it bring that to the community?
So we're on the education side of things, mainly. We do some sidewalk counseling and praying outside of abortion facilities in Philadelphia. The main bulk of what we do, though, is going into classrooms and giving presentations about pro-life, chastity, The organization was founded back about 25 years ago now with the idea in mind that the best way, the most, I guess, holistic, you know, long-lasting way to cure this epidemic of abortion in our culture is to promote the practice of chastity and right-ordered sexuality. And so we marry the two, we give pro-life talks, chastity talks, and we start as early as seventh grade. We'll go all the way through college. So that's a main bulk of what we're about.
Okay, so would that include public, Christian, you know, what kind of venues do you go into?
Yeah, so it's mainly Christian schools and churches. I mean, to be completely honest, we've really got a niche in the Catholic world. So, but we do some Protestant. Funny enough, I've been told that back in the day, we actually, the organization was started using grant money from Bill Clinton, who at the time in the late 90s was interested in promoting abstinence education. So back then we actually were in public schools for a bit there, but the landscape has changed. But hey, we're always
okay.
Open, right?
So where have you seen God's fingerprints in your story of, you know, working in this space? Where have you seen God answer prayer or open doors or connect things that only God would have done?
A lot of ways. One in particular is just in my own journey to my involvement with the organization and with pro-life work. I noticed when I was teaching, I taught middle school for a couple of years, and one of my biggest heartaches was just in seeing how even in a Catholic school, you know, we're not the kids, and this is not all Catholic schools, of course, and this is not to throw shade upon like where I was, because in many cases they're doing the best they can with the money that they have, but there is a lack of formation with these kids regarding their sexuality, all this stuff. And I think there's a mentality among parents and just middle-aged people in general, well-meaning, who would like to think that things aren't as bad as they are. It's like some kids may be looking at the pornography and what have you, but not our kids. And certainly I think there's also a mentality that, you know, well, we're Catholic, you know, Catholic and pro-life. I mean, they're right next to each other there in the dictionary. And I think the thing that we need to remember is that, you know, we like to say we can be the generation that ends abortion. That's a beautiful thing. But I think we also have to remember that each generation needs to be reconverted to these essential truths about God's purpose for sexuality and for our bodies. So I say all that because this was something I noticed among my students. It was something that I would delicately have to address, because it's like I don't know what they're hearing at home or what have you, and it's a sticky subject, you know. But anyway, so it was just something I was like, man, when I was teaching, I thought I would love to actually be able to address this, just totally address this. And that's like the bulk of what we do, is go into middle schools now and do that. And here for the specific God moment, if you will, I gave a talk at an all boys, this is a high school. I gave a talk at an all boys high school, and a student came up to me after the talk, and I could tell that he was anguished, you know, there's an internal strife going on. And what he shared with me is basically, in a nutshell, he really wants to do the right thing. He wants to do what God wants. He's having difficulty, et cetera. And it was beautiful, and this is my favorite part of my work. It was beautiful to be able to serve as in persona Christi, you know, as Jesus to him in that moment, and to lift that burden from him, and to show him that it's like, you know, I know that it's easy to think that, you know, God has all these lists, this list of rules. I want to follow that list, but it's really hard because the world's throwing all the stuff at me. And to be able to meet with him and go, seriously, all right, look, God's your father. And just start from there and then kind of in language a high schooler could get in like a 5-minute conversation to just talk about what's going on, what with your hormones want this. This is what God wants, and he wants that because he loves you, and it's okay to fail, and you're going to do it again and again and again. So that really sticks out to me as a beautiful moment.
Yeah. So as you're doing this work, which Bible passage has been inspirational or really has like spoken to encourage you or to give you good direction?
There's so many, obviously.
Which one stands out? Maybe that comes to mind as being one that has, that you maybe it's giving you some really good direction on how to do this kind of work.
All right. Now, remember, I went from Protestant to being Catholic, so I don't, my Bible, I don't, the Catholics are getting better at it, but I think Joshua 1:9 comes to mind, which, if I'm not mistaken, is be not afraid, I will be with you wherever you go, because we really are, I mean, this line of work, I'm sure you know, I mean, we're the squares. We are the no fun squares out there to some people. And there can be really some demonic hatred directed at being in this space and, you know, representing the Lord in this way. And to just remember that, like, you know, there, that animosity, even from some students, you know, I mean, I've got high school girls telling me that I'm, you know, an awful human being, you know what I mean? And just to remember that these are hurting people, you know, and that that's directed at God. Yeah, that's directed at God. It's mistaken, you know what I mean? But I don't know, kind of being like, I before teaching, I had a customer service job, and you always remembered they're mad at you. They're mad at the company. It's not you. You know?
Yeah. So. No, that's good. And so, you know, the idea of chastity and abstinence is it's a very old idea. So what would you say, what have you learned in these couple of years, you know, working in this space that you would consider new what have you learned in the last couple of years about abstinence and chastity that you'd like other people to maybe realize as well?
No one knows what chastity is. No.
Okay.
Because people get it confused with abstinence. And in part, I think that is the fault of an earlier generation of ministry who it's kind of like, you know, I'm thinking about it. It's kind of like, you know, a mentality that like a grandpa or a grandma might have, you know, well-intentioned, but it's just like, oh yeah, that just don't do it. You'll be fine. You know what I mean? And it's not enough. And I mean, you could, in a sense, it's almost like the consciousness of the present generation is different. More, and you see this in so many ways, but more wanting to know, well, who says, you know, not even like, I think in like a 60s, you know, counterculture hippie thing, or just like, I just want to do the opposite of what, I mean, in many ways, what we offer is countercultural now, and that's really cool. But I think that from religious leaders across the board, people are wanting to know, okay, why? And I think we need to be ready to provide something to that. Because if we don't have something ready, then it's just not appealing. I mean, we may have in our mind, like we have the structure worked out. Well, this is for human flourishing. This is how you should live a life for, you know, maximum happiness in a spiritual sense, like an Aristotelian sort of idea. But no, we have to be ready with that answer, that why. It's motivating. And I think that's what I like about the concept of chastity. Once you get it separated from abstinence, that chastity is rightly ordering, you know, I'm getting all Catholic theological St. Thomas Aquinas treatise here, but rightly ordering the passions, you know, not listening to that voice in your head. or actually at least being able to distinguish when that voice is on the right track versus when it's not on the right track. And I always like, I like to tell the students, you know, this is about not being a slave. No one likes slavery, right? I mean, it's an evil thing, and it happens inside you. It can happen. You know, you can be enslaved to this, to these things. Don't be a slave. Practice chastity.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's really good. My daughter and I were talking recently about altars and how, like, you know, certain, like, you know, if someone lusts, you know, essentially that's like sacrificing good things on a bad altar. And then, you know, choosing to have chastity would be sacrificing maybe your self desires on a good altar. And so, like, altars are a way of like having ownership over certain parts of your mental, spiritual space in some way. And that's a little bit ambiguous, but at the same time, essentially making good decisions is like sacrifice. You know, we're called to be a daily sacrifice for God. But we often are, selfish desires want to sin and sacrifice those good things that we could have to, you know, on a bad altar. And does that make sense at all?
I think it does. I really like that. I like to talk very similarly. And typically it's in the Q&A after our talks where this almost inevitably comes up, where I say, hey, God gave us this world to enjoy. He gave us all these beautiful gifts, and he gave us, you know, he made us all special so that we desire different things. And that's just wonderful. But because of sin, you know, to your point, good and bad altars, where we have this little thing, this little golem, you know, like creature inside us, who's like, mine, you know, I want to use that for my own end. And,
That's really, yeah. So, you know, selfishness is, it's weaved into all of our sin, I believe. It's, you know, making ourselves feel good at the expense of, all, yeah, what we should be doing. So most people that listen to this podcast are either a pro-life leader or very likely an executive director of a pregnancy clinic, and they might be anywhere in the country. What would you like to share about your experience in this work, working with youth, working with college kids in this space? You know, what might be helpful to people who are working at a pregnancy clinic or in pro-life leadership for them to understand about, you know, what, based on what you've learned from your experience and journey?
The kids, at least in these Catholic schools that we're at, even if they haven't really been formed much in, you know, in understanding this, they're generally pretty well disposed. And you see a lot of light bulbs go off. So I think that there's encouragement there. It's like, we need to keep doing what we're doing. You know, Roe versus Wade overturned, but of course, you know, that's not even half the battle for life. But I find it really encouraging that so many students are really, light bulbs are going off, and they're well disposed towards the message. Especially young men. I give a chastity talk at a all boys Catholic high school. They're high-fiving me as they exit the classroom. I mean, they're excited about this message, which is just, I don't know, 50 years ago, I don't know that you would expect that, really. Again, if you come at it from the chastity angle of a life well lived, you know, and not coming from the STD, not just roll out the STD angle talking about this kind of thing, great response. The young ladies, are still work to be done, of course. You know, sexual revolution has particularly hurt feminine in our society, and it's almost in the air where they feel. Satan really has done a wonderful job with how it just seems like they just pick up by osmosis this thing where it's like, you know, they're coming at that somebody is against my womanhood is somehow connected with my ability to control my reproductive faculties in that way, that once I'm already, you know, I think you know what I mean. And they, so it's almost like the girls are predisposed to be against life. And that's an area where a lot of work remains to be done.
Well, yeah, if you, you know, maybe overlooking the how, what would you like that girl who has, you know, been, well, essentially who's in the wrong posture, wrong position on this, what would you like her to, you know, what would be that switch? Essentially, like, would it be a matter of, like, confessing in order to really make that shift and change towards life, or would it be something else?
It's very much their position of being pro-choice is very much bound up for these young ladies is very much bound up with who they are as a person. I mean, it is, it seems very bound up with their identity. And we see that with a lot of, I mean, you too, you see this with a lot of these, identities that the kids have nowadays, whether it's to be gay by, you know, the sexual identity or what have you, it's very much a part of who they are, which was not that way in the past. And I think it's, I would suppose it's because people are a little more comfortable in their skin historically, you know, on the whole, you know, guys like being guys, girls like being girls. And I think that our space has done a pretty good job of building up masculinity and making masculinity look attractive and like an identity you'd want to have. I think we need to work on the feminine. I think we need to work on the femininity side of things. I really do. And how we present and explore. What does it mean to be a woman, you know, deeply, and to really bring that out, which that's what I would suggest.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because, like, you know, in today's culture war, women's identity as a woman has been graffitied and attacked at a deep level. And yeah, it just seems like Satan's opened up a new bag of tricks over the last decade of, you know, trying to shift on how he attacks with lies.
And if I may, Jacob, yeah, there's a tendency, I think, on the right, on the right wing to go, we're going to reclaim traditional masculinity, right, and everything that entails, and it may be to a certain degree put on, because in many ways it's difficult to, certain things have changed nowadays, the economic reality, all that, but in any case, and the idea, I think, is that the feminine will just kind of follow that, and I just naturally fall into place, and I think that the feminine still needs to be brought out and explored in its own right, not obviously not like distinct, not as in like we need to explore femininity distinct from the masculine, because these are the sexes are complementary, you know, and how God made us. It's like to make us one. But I think we give short shrift to the feminine.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I would agree that that needs to be, sounds like we need to become champions of those ideas. Yeah. So let me think, what's next that I'd like to ask you about? So going back to this work, where do you see it going into the future, or how has it changed over the last couple of years that you've been doing this? Like, you know, I know it's only a couple of years, but you know, where do you think it's going and what's changed while you've been doing it?
Yeah. So, when I started, here, we were, this is a pretty small organization. Our work is pretty much mid-Atlantic. You know, we're based out of Philadelphia. We go up and we'll do stuff in New York, New Jersey, Virginia, Maryland, you know, mid-Atlantic, right? And what we're looking to do as an organization is to, the biggest thing is to bring back our missionary program. At the moment, we are just all staff members. Salaried staff members. So we do admin, and then we go out and we present to students, which on the one hand I love, because it's great to be able, I mean, you know, I'm a teacher at heart. It's great to be able to do the thing that we're supposed to be doing. But we're looking to bring back our missionary program, which we haven't had since I've been here. That fell off some years ago. There were some, you know, upheaval, restructuring, what have you. Company got smaller. So we're looking to bring that back and have missionaries who fundraise their own salaries to really be able to expand our reach, because the demand is there. We have so much demand, we can't even necessarily keep up as it currently stands. So we're looking to enter an exciting growth period at this point for Generation Life.
So with that missionary program, would that be helping you cover new geographic territory, or are you thinking primarily for your current territory?
Even just for the current territory. We're not even in, I'm trying to remember the numbers at the moment. I don't think we're even in like 20, we're not even in 25% of archdiocesan schools in Philadelphia. So there's a lot of room just right here to be able to grow. And of course, with that, you know, we're looking to raise up new leaders for the pro-life movement. Gen Life is really well connected with the other pro-life organizations in the Philadelphia area. And to be able to get those young people straight out of college who are like, you know, I feel called to this. I wanna work here. I mean, this is a great place to start and to get that both spiritual and employment, you know, training. So we're very excited.
Do you have any volunteer opportunities for youth to participate in some way for those who really enjoy what you're doing?
We're a little sparse at the moment, but I'm hoping to be able to expand those opportunities because it'll also help feed into our missionary program. Probably, you know, to start with, just looking to get more people to join us when we go out to pray and counsel outside of Planned Parenthood. At the moment, it's just a staff opportunity, but there's a lot of, we have a lot of young people who, you know what, I totally forgot. We have one big thing that we do bring in volunteers for. Let me pause. Beach outreach. So, and this is what the article in The Guardian was all about. This reporter accompanied our team on beach outreach. So what that is going down to the Jersey Shore for senior week, usually first, second week of June, and just getting out on the boardwalks and beaches and asking young people that they find, you know, what they think of, they ever heard of chastity? What do you think love means? And we're not videotaping them or anything. It's kind of like chastity evangelism. We're just starting the conversation. So this is our biggest thing that we currently recruit volunteers for. I can't believe that just woo.
No worries.
But yeah, so we're looking to expand in other areas as well, but we've got a lot of local college kids in Philadelphia, the pro-life clubs, these colleges, they'll come with us on beach outreach. It's a lot of fun hanging out with these guys, and we have awesome conversations. So yeah, if you're in our neck of the woods around March, we start recruiting. Check out generationlife.org and submit an application. We'd love to have you.
Very cool. So as we close out this podcast, what are some final thoughts you'd like to share that I didn't ask you about?
Like I said, I never expected to be where I am, but I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful that I am. And it really is a privilege, especially talking to you, the rest of you in the pro-life movement. It's a privilege to have gone from being a student and kind of just keeping up on what's going on, because as a Christian, you know, this is, was so important to me, you know, that we stand up for these poor, innocent children, you know, who are butchered, who have been butchered for years in our country. And it really is an honor to be able to be in this with you guys. And, you know, you're asking me questions, Jacob. I'm still eager to learn even.
Yeah.
So it's great to be here.
Yeah. As you're saying that, one question that came to mind was, it makes sense to start at junior high based on the context and content that you're talking about. But the opposition has brought their message down to the kindergarten level, which is just sort of crazy, right? But yep. at the same time, that's when children have been exposed to, that's when the exposure to these poor, dangerous, just really, bad ideas has started in the public schools, at least, maybe not in the Catholic or Christian private schools ever, I would hope. But it just seems like your message is needed in that public space. That's probably the greatest need. And then also finding a way to even go in earlier at these earlier ages to provide a healthy alternative voice to some of the text, the content, the messaging in that space. What's the likelihood of going it back into public? I mean, it sounds like it's needed, but it also sounds like it comes with special rules, probably.
Right. Yeah. We're excited about the growth of vouchers and charter schools. That provides us more wiggle room, from what I understand, with getting in there to address that audience. And we just recently brought back our social media messaging. We had lost our social media manager for a bit; hadn't been able to replace her. So we're back, and now we're actually producing TikToks of all things to promote the messages of pro-life and chastity to really meet these kids where they're at. So whether they've heard our talk, they're at a Catholic school, they've heard our talk, they want to know more, or if they just come across us, to know that we're out there and that we're hopefully not lame. But I completely am with you on that. Especially from my background in teaching, and again, just to reiterate, I understand. I'm a father. Of young kids. I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. I'm sensitive to the parental desire to protect. But I think that it helps to be. We need to be realistic. And someone once said recently that I recall. It's safe to assume that all men have had contact or are addicted to pornography. And it's awful that recognition, but that's where we're at. We are in the perverted panopticon. I think that's the prison that, that you can't, anyway, it's not good. It's really not good. And we're going to lose. We are going to absolutely lose in a terrestrial sense, and even maybe in an eternal sense, souls, if we are not fully aware of the level of evil that we're in, and that even the kids have. So again, it's a matter of our messaging needs to be on point. We don't want to teach anyone something that they haven't been exposed to. That's what we're all about. We've carefully crafted our stuff, and we're willing to take suggestions or willing to take requests, if you will, if we're going into a place and we're gonna tweak it a little bit, depending upon the maturity of the students. But in general, I'm here to sound the alarm, to parents and to teachers and to administration, that they're looking at stuff on their phones, and that needs to be addressed in a mature Christian way.
All right, one more question. So let's say someone's in another state or let's say in a county where there's currently not anyone providing this voice in this space. Would your group, or do you know of a group who would be willing and able to help equip someone to start up a missionary program in a new county? What would that look like? Because I'm assuming, and it's, I can probably, it's probably pretty safe to assume that there are many counties without people speaking on this topic, and there's probably great need. And I don't know the numbers, but I'm sure there's plenty of counties that just don't have someone in this space in their county. What would that, would your group be the group, or would there be another group you know of that might be helpful for someone looking to fast track their, setup and understanding of how to run this?
Absolutely. Looking ahead into the future for what's in store for us, I'm entirely open to that possibility of getting out there to service areas that are underserviced. I mean, honestly, you know, we're out of Philadelphia. Some of our biggest supporters are in the Archdiocese of New York. We go up there. Typically, we try to squeeze it into a week and just hit, like, you know, school after school after school, morning session, afternoon, evening, you know, double up, all this. But even that sometimes isn't enough. We have to come back more than once, which we're happy to do. But anyway, yeah, so I would be very interested in that possibility going forward, because there's definitely a need for it. I know that there is other organizations out there currently that, but again, it's sparse, and there definitely needs to be more. So yeah, if anyone's ever
there's
interested,
a lot of schools. Yeah, there's just so many schools.
If anyone's interested, you know, I'd love to have that conversation. It might not be something that we can do overnight, but I'd be interested in discussing.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, thank you so much, Anthony, for being on here. Would you wrap up our podcast with a prayer? And maybe those who are listening can pray alongside and or pray with you when they hear this.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jacob and I and all of these people who you have called, these men and women, to work in this space and to volunteer in this space for your most precious, precious, precious gift, which is, you know, our kids, our nation, the kids of our nation, the kids of the whole world. And we ask you to continue to please give us grace as we go out there and minister to the hurting and to those who don't know you. And we ask that through our work, they may meet the one God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. We ask all these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sob at the graveside, the wedding bells. And songs of the lost and found, the reaching of our hands, the whale and the lion, mother and her son, family of terra firma, creatures of the earth. Be still.